Well, amen. You know what? We have heard truth this morning as we're crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, would you speak to us your truth? It's so wonderful to have others listening to the voice of the Lord. Wendy, for your wonderful reminder of just the simplicity of giving. Tara Lee, for that reminder that we come together as a team, an army of the Lord. I affirm that word from the Lord this morning and say amen. Well, we are on a series right now called Change Your Channel. And if this gets really buzzy, I'm going to get away from the back to switch mics. So don't worry, we're aware that there is some technology difficulties with the mic right now. And so we'll press in a little. It seems to go away as we warm up a bit. And I don't know, I'm warmed up. How about you? Yeah. Well, this whole idea, changing the channel, has to do with shifting our posture, shifting our perspective or our attitude on something, because the problem is so often we get stuck in a mindset and we find ourselves continuously being defeated in a certain area. And we're talking through this series about overcoming areas where the enemy has gained ground in our life, and that overcoming, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just suddenly appear and, oh, I seem to have victory over that, and I don't even know how that occurred. It's an intentionality. It's coming to the presence of the Lord and saying, God, I want to press in to know you more. I want to hear your voice. I want to overcome these things that keep me from knowing you more fully. We talked last week that God has given us a number of stop signs to pay attention to so that we can be victors and not victims on our walk with him. And some of us know a whole lot about the enemy. We observe his going-ons in society and the world around us, and oh, that's the devil and that's Satan. And yet, so often, we said last week, we allow him to run rampant in our own lives, and we miss the fact that we have an enemy and that he is at work. And so we experience fear, disillusionment, lies, sins that we can't seem to overcome, and the list goes on and on. And last week we talked about the fact that it's time for us to put a stop to some of those behaviors, to take an intentional step. And some of those things we talked about was to stop making excuses for our behavior, to stop agreeing with the enemy, to stop the defeatist attitude. Nothing will change, it never will, it's just the way I am. And stop choosing death over life. And so I'm here this morning to say once again, it is time to change our channel. There's more to be done. There's more work that we can do. And last week, I sent you all home with a response page. If you were here, you would have received that. And I challenged you to have a time of listening prayer with the Lord this week and to ask him one of the three questions on that piece of paper. And if you were feeling really ambitious, to go ahead and ask all of them. Just how many of you were able to find some time to do that little exercise? All right. How many of you heard something from the Lord through that little exercise? All right, is there anyone, I'm just going to pause for a moment, no pressure, is there anyone who wants to share? It is between you and the Lord, so I get it if you're like, nope. All right. Well, it was interesting, as I did that for myself, I chose the last question, which I believe was, is there anything, Lord, that I'm doing that is standing in the way of what you want to do? Is there something I'm, you know, stuck in myself? And he actually highlighted, and I didn't expect this, because, you know, in my mind, I've worked through a lot of things. I've been spending a lot of time with the Lord dealing with some of this stuff, and I figured, oh, it'll probably be this or that. And he challenged me in my relationship with Ed. And he said, you make excuses in your relationship with him about how you serve him. And one of those excuses is, I'm not a morning person. And I'm not a morning person. We joke that he shouldn't talk to me in the morning. If he does, he just gets a, ugh. And so a little while ago, yeah, literally, a little while ago, Ed said, you know, I think we should start praying together. Let's do it in the morning. Right? Well, that went over with me like a ton of bricks. So I would begrudgingly extend my hand to him and go, you know, can we just get this over with? Kind of, yes, your pastor, I'm sorry. God and I have definitely had a talk about this. This is why I can share this now. And he challenged me and said, you need to show up differently. He's making an effort. Where's your effort? Stop making excuses. It's just the way I am. I'm not a morning person. God said, get over it, become a morning person. And so from that point on, I think it was Thursday I did that. So Friday morning, I said, Ted, are you ready to pray? And he just went, what? It's like, is this my wife talking to me right now in the morning? And we got to do that yesterday and the day before. God gave me a specific time. You be ready when he gets out of the shower, because my husband is a man of routine and I can clock him by his routine. You be ready to pray with him. And so I want to challenge you, and I was going to say this at the end, but I'm going to say it now. If, when I give you another one of these exercises today, if you're skipping it, if you're too busy, too forgetful, whatever, you are missing something profound. And that's not to put a guilt trip on you, but this is about intentionality. And so we can go into the room and we say, God, speak to me. We can say, well, I just hear from the Lord throughout my day. But I'm challenging you to a very intentional step and not miss this opportunity to hear a very specific word from the Lord. And I'm going to give you some new questions today that reflect on where we're going. Well, I want to introduce you to somebody. Oh, did I go backwards? I didn't go forwards. I'm getting there. This is Georgia Veach. And so Georgia is the granddaughter of our unit or district supervisor in the Pacific Northwest. And so they supervise the Four Square churches in the United States in the Pacific Northwest. Their son, I believe her father, is a pastor in California with the Four Square Church. This is their granddaughter, Georgia. She was born with significant disabilities. Significant disabilities. She's 8 years old. Does she have value? Okay. Undisputed. Yes. Why? Because she's human? God made her? Right. Absolutely. It was an easy question. Wasn't getting too challenging with you today. Her identity and her value are based on who she is, not on what she does. Because at this point in her life, she's able to do very, very little. I think the extent of it is to be able to smile. So she responds to words of love and affirmation, and she smiles. Her grandmother writes on the page where I snagged this picture from, "Every day, Georgia, I thank God for your life, the evidence of God's great love." She not only has value in the sight of God, she has value in the sight of those around her. Well, I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. If you have one of these, would you take it out and turn it on? So if you have a mobile device, if you don't, just kind of snuggle up to somebody near you who does. That's okay. Absolutely. I'll just see if you can beat my last level. It's been a few years, though. I'm going slow, too. I want to give you a minute to check your notifications because I'm sure they all popped up and, you know, came to your attention as soon as you turned your phone on. Yes. Oh, you won't need it for this. So just turn it on into on mode. Now, if you have it out, click to camera mode. So click to camera mode. And yes, if you're not aware, there's a little button on there that has you turn it to selfie mode. So you just tap on that. Oh, do you see that? Did it happen? Do you see your face in there? If you're near somebody, show them their face in your phone. When you look at this, tell me this. Does what you're looking at in that little screen, that little window, does it have value? Do you have value? Why? Right, because Jesus loves us. Go ahead and take a selfie if you want. You may want to remember this moment. Here, I've never taken a selfie while I've been preaching. Right? We, church, each individual represented here, whether you have a mobile device or not, you have value. Now, here's the thing. We know the truth about all of this. I bet if I pressed you a little harder and we had more time and I said, why do you have value? You'd say, well, because I'm a child of God. I'm beloved. I'm reconciled to God. And you would go through this list. And all of those things would be true. Absolutely, 100%. But there's more. There's more. We were created with a unique individual identity. So when we look at that list, we look and we go, yeah, that's true. I have value because of these things. Shelly has value, the same value because of these things. So does Rosa, so does Shan. All of us share these things in common. But there's something that God has given us, and that's an individual identity that also puts value into our spirit and our soul and our understanding. Theologian Henry J. Newman says, spiritual identity means we are not what we do or what people say about us, and we are not what we have. We are the beloved daughters and sons of God. And the spiritual identity we're talking about this morning is uncovered during our intimate encounters with the Lord. In fact, pretty much everything we do is uncovered through our intimate encounters with the Lord. That's why I'm pressing so hard. Get with God. Do this thing. Get with him. Get with him. Get with him, because you'll understand so much more about what he wants for you and about who you are. And we see an example of this intimate encounter. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, back to the very beginning, first book. And there's an intimate encounter that takes place here with Jacob and the Lord. And beginning in verse 22, it says, during the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives. This is Genesis 32, 22. His two servant wives and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all of his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of his socket. Verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. So here we have this marked intimate encounter with the Lord. He's not identified in this section of scripture, but we find out later that's who Jacob was wrestling with. And Jacob receives a very specific identity from the Lord. You are no longer Jacob. You will now be called Israel. Each of us have our own spiritual identity, our own calling, our own values, uniquely crafted by the Lord. But there are some things that trip us up. The first one we've referenced already, we often think our identity is about what we do. So if we get into a conversation with one another and we chat, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a financial planner. I'm retired. We immediately go to what we do. The question is if that's taken away, who are you? If you're a parent, an aunt, or an uncle, and for some reason those children are no longer in your lives, are you still who you are? Are you still who God created you to be? If for some reason, and some of you have had to walk down the path of divorce, are you still who you are with the loss of a spouse? Who are you? Is it about what we do? Those are functions. Those are expressions of who God created us to be. But that's not who we are. Tim Keller says it like this. If we take our meaning in life from our family, our work, a cause, or some achievement other than God, they enslave us. And I think that's true. I think there's so much work involved, right? Because we're constantly trying to gain approval and identity through our work, through our family, through those things. And it's just this constant hamster on a wheel kind of a thing. I think another challenge with identity is we think too small. So we say, as we said before, I'm a child of God. And it's so true and it's so rich. But there's more. Psalm 139 says, we are knit together in our mother's womb, fearfully and wonderfully made. And some translations say it, wonderfully complex. Wonderfully complex. We know the whole lecture of fingerprints and snowflakes, and no two are exactly alike, but sometimes I think we fail to understand just how that's so true about each and every one of us. This is a pattern here, and it says at the top, if you track the relative positions of Earth and Venus over an 8-year period, this is the resulting pattern. Pretty cool, hey? Look at how intricate that is. That's God. So if he takes the time to create this intricate pattern through orbiting planets, do you think maybe he took the time to make you pretty intricate as well? I was driving the other day and just looking up in the mountains, scaring my husband because I was driving while looking up at the mountains. At one point, the car did veer towards the ditch on a secondary road, and I recovered, and we were good. But I was looking at the snow and thinking, that's interesting how the snow fell on that particular mountain. And I bet next year it will look different. And I thought to myself, I bet God planned that. I bet this was not just a happenstance snowfall. I bet he went, you know what, this year I want to make it shaped like this. And next year I'm going to do a little over here and a little over there. And I'm going to make it look like that. And we're going to have this kind of depth. He is so creative. And that creativity extends to each one of you. When I talk about my boys, I don't just say, I have 4 boys and they're all Crowells. I'll take time with you and I'll say, well, one's this age and this one really likes woodworking and this one really likes music and this one's like the Energizer Bunny. Don't know where he gets that from. You know, all of them have these super intricate details about who they are. And so do we. But sometimes we think too small. Another issue of identity and knowing it is sometimes we actually think it's sinful or wrong or prideful to even consider this conversation. But knowing who we are, knowing who God created us to be, all those intimate details, is actually good theology. Because then we know our purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. At the age of 12, when he was in the temple and said, I must be about my Father's business, he was intimately acquainted with why he was there on earth. And scholars debate when he came to that understanding and when he knew. But regardless, if we look through scriptures, he knew what he was to be about. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. And I think that doesn't mean just where we're going ways, but also our ways. Why do we respond? Why do we react this way? Why do we lean towards, you know, why do I lean towards going off on secondary roads in my vehicle? And somebody else goes, I'm not doing that. That's crazy. Why? Right? There's answers to these things that we need to consider. Mark 12:31 says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Sometimes we miss the as yourself part. We can't fully love ourselves if we don't know who we are and we don't know who God created us to be. In Luke 18, verses 9 to 12, it says, Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scored everyone else. And it's referring here to the Pharisees where they say, I thank God that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. And I wonder if the Pharisees had just a little bit of self-awareness, if they had taken time in the presence of the Lord to say, God, who did you create me to be? How much their understanding would have changed. Can you imagine? Oh, you're my chosen people. What? No way. I mean, he tried to tell them. They weren't listening. We need to take time to have an accurate self-perception and our identity shaped by the Lord. But the other problem is we listen to other voices. Yeah, I figured I'd have to let that one sit. This is royalty with a face swap. If you're not familiar with that app, it allows you to switch the faces of somebody else beside you in a photo. So often we listen to other voices. And Davidson, you sang that song this morning, The Voice of Truth. Who am I going to listen to? Who's calling out to me? And we allow our identity to become distorted. Who God created us to be becomes distorted by the other voices. I should be more like this. I should be more like them. I should be more this way or that way. And this is a little bit of a disturbing picture, so. Yeah. So what we end up is a life where we're striving after the approval of others, or we're striving to fit in, or we're listening to culture to dictate how we're to respond and how we're to be. I mean, social media, we bring it up often. How often does how you respond in a given situation reflect what you saw on social media and how somebody else responded? These things are one of, and sometimes even our friends can be one of the biggest unhealthy influences when it comes to shaping our identity. I think of Job. If Job had listened to the three friends that were advising him, who were saying, you're just a sinner and blah, 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 and Job's maintaining his innocence and all that, how much different Job might have responded. And the last one is we believe lies. So John 10:10, our verse for this year, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy our identity. And this happens when we forget or when we fail to engage in finding out who God created us to be. When we fail to engage with the Lord and say, God, who did you create me to be? Who am I? Then Satan has a heyday with our identity. We can't fight or push back with somebody we're in agreement with. So if we're believing Satan's lies that you're just not good enough, and you're saying, it's true, I'm not good enough. And then you're coming before the Lord and saying, God, I need breakthrough in this area. And he's like, but you're agreeing with the enemy, right? How often do we do that? And I think of Eve, this whole first temptation, the enemy challenged her identity. Then you will be like God. Eve saw the beautiful tree, the delicious fruit, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. She wanted to be like God. A challenge of identity. And the result is Adam and Eve felt shame at their nakedness. So they had this identity made in God's image, ruler, dominion over the earth, and it was marked by shame and separation. Those things were still true. That's still who they were. But they were colored over or brushed over with these other aspects. Here's the truth. God created you with values. He created you with a very unique, specific calling that is different. And I'm not talking about, oh, he called me to be a pastor. He called me to work at Selkirk Signs. He called me to teach. I'm talking about a unique calling that supersedes all of those things. Where everything's stripped away, the same would be true. God has called me to this. He's also given you unique gifts and talents. We say that often. But I was celebrating with somebody yesterday. We've been working, some of us, just on the side at going through a Romans 12 motivational gift test. If it's something you're interested in, I'd love to walk you through it. And we were celebrating at how in these seven areas, how each person's different score ended up in this unique configuration. So even though somebody else in the congregation may have the same motivational gift and the same secondary one, the third one's going to look different. And when you put the numbers together, it's uniquely them. And it's filtered through their experiences. We are so very unique. And God has done a lot of work for me in this area. So if you ask me today, Carolyn, who are you? I will not tell you I'm a wife. I will not tell you I'm a mother. I will not tell you I'm a pastor. I will say to you, I am a creative, passionate, adventurous, intelligent person who walks with integrity, who encourages others, who is trustworthy. I am a warrior who is called to empower transformation. I am a defender of the faith. I am a protector of the weak. I am a champion for the brokenhearted to see them come to wholeness. And that will be true whether I pastor, whether I'm single, whether I'm a parent, whether I'm a grandparent, or whether I'm none of those things. Who are you? Who are you? Has God spoken to you about that? Have you taken the time to listen to the whisper of his voice? To find out who you are. Because walking in health and wholeness and understanding who we're created to be, we can choose that. We don't need to be a victim of the identity that others have laid on us. God wants to shape your understanding of who you are. And we've talked about this last week. Prayer is how we fight our battles. I can't come down to you and convince you that this is who you are. It's not going to come from me. It's going to come from the Lord. There may be exercises and tools and resources you can use to help along the way, to help you find out. You know, we often talk in leadership circles about Myers-Briggs and the Enneagrams and all of those things. Those are all tools. They're very useful, gifts, tests. But we need to hear specifically from the Lord the whisper of his Holy Spirit. So once again, this week, I'm going to be giving out to you at the end of the service a listening prayer challenge and handout. And we talked about this is not a formula. This is just about an intentionality, a way to focus. And set aside 15 to 30 minutes. Begin with some thanksgiving. Bring a pen and a piece of paper with you. And ask him one of the following questions. What do you like about me? And wait long enough to hear the answer, because I promise you it will change your outlook forever. I asked this question in October, and I will never forget the answer. I was like, what? I had no idea. And we think, well, we can't ask God that. Yes, you can. He made you. He made you. He wants you to know these things. He didn't make you and say, now figure it out. I'm going to hide it all from you. He wants you to know these things. Ask the Lord, what do you like about me? Another question, what is one word you would use to describe who you created me to be? What is one word, God, that you would use to describe who you created me to be? And the last option, and again, you can do all three if you're feeling real keen and you want to lean into this. Where is one place I have been turning to instead of you, God, to shape my identity? What is one step I can take to change that? I believe this morning as we've been talking that some of you immediately can bring to mind a lie, a label, a way that somebody has spoken into your identity. And I believe the Lord today wants to bring healing to those areas. And Davidson, I'm going to invite you to come and maybe just that course, Voice of Truth. We see this in Scripture, but sometimes we miss it. The Lord is called the Wonderful Counselor. The Wonderful Counselor. He is fully capable and able to bring healing to wounded areas of your life this morning. Areas where you've been misidentified, areas where you've taken on an identity that is not true about you. What lies have you been believing about who you really are? What lies have been spoken against you by others that you've been carrying? It's time to be set free. It's time to have those things broken. As I was praying into this week, one of the words that came to my mind is liar. Liar. I believe somebody in this room has been wearing that for a very long time. And they know the Lord, and they have brought it to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. And yet it continues to be the thing that pops into their mind again and again. And this morning, I rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus, and I proclaim freedom. Whoever you are not a liar. That is not your identity. That is put on you by the enemy. Perhaps this morning, the word is fearful. I rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. We tear that down and we stand and we take ground here and say, no, you are not fearful. That is not who God created you to be. Another one is not good enough. Not good enough. Even in your own words, even now, if that's you, tear that down. We rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. You are good enough. You are good enough. That is a lie of the enemy you need to stop believing this morning. Angry. We rebuke that lie. You are not an angry person. We tear that down in the name of Jesus. Stupid. You are not stupid. You are not stupid. That is a lie of the enemy. God does not talk that way about his kids. He never will. And we tear that down in the name of Jesus. Lord, would you just redeem us this morning? Lord God, would you free us from the lies we've been believing? Lord, we tear down every lie, every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of who you are. God, we pray for a new identity, a new revelation of who you've shaped us to be. God, we don't want to wear the labels the world puts on us. We don't want to buy into the lies of Satan. We don't want to lean that way, cling to it, pursue it. In the name of Jesus, we tear those things down. And we say, God, we will only pursue you. Lord, it says in your word, and we prayed this morning before the service, you are a rewarder of everyone who diligently seeks you. And Lord, as we press into this, as we take this piece of paper, and it's just a piece of paper, and it's just a question. But God, as we're intentional to be with you, to press in and say, God, we want to know you. We want to know ourselves so that we can fully serve you with full abandon and experience the abundant life you've promised us. Lord, would you reward as we seek you? God, would you whisper to each person's heart today a new word? God, would you reveal what you like about us? Would you reveal what you've called us to uniquely? Lord God, would you reveal those values that we hold deep in our hearts, so many of them squished, so many of them wounded. God, would you bring healing in the name of Jesus this morning? Lord, we just pray your soothing balm over every area. God, close those gaps, those open wounds in people's hearts this morning, that we would be able to move forward and embrace who you've created us to be. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you don't withhold good things from your kids, that you don't withhold praise from your kids. It talks in your word that you sing over us with joy. You sing over us with joy. You are not disappointed. Lord, you created us. I think of that scripture where it says, Lord God, how does the pot say to the potter, why did you make me this way? God, forgive us for where we've challenged you and failed to walk in the areas you've created us for, where we've resisted because we've believed lies. Lord, would you forgive us and free us from that in the name of Jesus? Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to wait on the Lord for a moment and just allow him to whisper even now to you words of affirmation, words of identity. You can even go ahead and begin just to ask him a specific question now. Lord, you are the voice of truth. God, you're not just the voice of truth, you are truth. And scripture says that when we know the truth, it will set us free. Lord, would you speak to each one of us your truth this morning? The truth about the fact that we are a child of God, loved and adopted by you as we come into relationship with you. And Lord, once again, the truth about who you've created us to be. In your name.